I greet you this morning in the worth the name of Jesus. I'd also like to welcome our visitors to our service today. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 in verse 2 for a text verse. Scripture of the preaching of John the Baptist. It says in verse 2 that this was John the Baptist came, and he was saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I've titled the message this morning just simply one word, repent. As we look at this, this was the message that John the Baptist had to the people that he was preaching to. And if we look at Matthew 4 and verse 17, it says that Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Similar, very similar words. I'd like to look at the definition of the word repent. In the 1828 Webster's, it's about five definitions that are given. Number one is to feel pain, sorrow, or regret for something done or spoken, as to repent that we have lost much time in idleness or sensual pleasure, to repent that we have injured or wounded the feelings of a friend. And then it gives clarification here. It says a person repents only of what he himself has done or said. In other words, you can't repent for what somebody else is doing. It's not your fault. But it's only for what you have done that you can repent of. Number two is to express sorrow for something past. Number three, to change the mind in consequence of the inconvenience or injury done by past conduct, to the point where it actually brings about a change of mind. Number four, applied to the supreme being or to God, to change the course of providential dealings. And there's a couple scripture verses that were given. In Genesis 6, verse 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." In Psalm 106:45, "And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies." This is speaking of that psalm previously was talking about the children of Israel and how they had strayed from God, and how that when they cried out to him, it says, it brought out this verse here, that he remembered for them the covenant he had made with them, and it repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Number five, this may be the most in connection with the message today on repent, is in theology to sorrow or be pained for sin as a violation of God's holy law, a dishonor to his character and government, and the fallacy ingratitude to a being of infinite benevolence. Benevolence would be kindness, would be another word for that. So we have the infinite benevolence or infinite kindness of God. You know, our benevolence or our kindness is finite. A lot of times our kindness is contingent upon the love and the kindness of the person that we are showing love or kindness to. Whereas for God, it's saying that his kindness, his love is infinite. You know, even if we don't love him, and even if we're not kind to him, that he is still loving and kind to us, even though we don't deserve that. A more modern interpretation or definition of repent is to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. View or think of an action or omission with deep regret or remorse. Feel regret or penitence about. So repentance can actually be not only for an action that has been done, but also for an omission of an action, that maybe I should have done something and I didn't, and I'm sorry, I repent for not having done that, when it would have been to the best interest of the other party or for my life and my walk with God maybe. I'd like to read the first 17, or the whole chapter here in Matthew 3, 17 verses. It says chapter 3, verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You will see here that John was coming and he was preaching this message to the people. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Luke it tells us that when John was preaching, the people asked him, What shall we do? We see that there was conviction and there was a movement, there was repentance, that they were wanting to know, you know, what does God want us to do? What do we need to do? We know we have sinned. And I think there were some people that very likely did not respond in that manner. And maybe that's what John was talking about to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, did you just come out because you're looking for some fault here? You know, you're just coming out to see what is of interest here. Or are you really coming out because you are sorry? In Proverbs 28:13, it tells us that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And we see the need there of, you know, when you are not sorry, when you do not repent of sin, you obviously will try to keep that covered. Or you may be blatant about it and sin presumptuously. You don't care who knows about your sin, and you're not repentant in that matter. In Jeremiah 8, verses 5 through 7, it asks some questions here. He asks, Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. So here Jeremiah was saying, the prophet was bemoaning that there is nobody that is repenting, no man that is saying, you know, what have I done of the wickedness, the evil that they had committed, that they're not repenting of that, they're not being sorry for that. And he brought out how that even the birds know their appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow. But my people don't know the judgment of the Lord. In other words, they refuse to listen. They refuse to pay attention to what God is saying. In Matthew 11, I'd like to read the first 24 verses. In verse 1, it says, And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We take note in the Gospel of John how that when John the Baptist was preaching, that he saw Jesus, and he told the people or whoever was around him there, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And we know how that John was reluctant to baptize Jesus because he viewed him as, you know, greater than himself. But here, John being in prison, John the Baptist being in prison, it seems like he had a question about this, and maybe he was having doubts, and he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, you know, "Are you really the one that should come, or are we looking for another?" Like maybe he was having some doubt. And as these men departed, in verse 7, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.' Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.'" So here we see how Jesus was bringing out the fact that there was a difference in the ministry and the preaching of John the Baptist and the way John the Baptist lived his life and the way Jesus was living his, and that no matter the difference in the message bearers, the people were rejecting the message, and they were saying, Jesus was saying that, you know, they're like the children sitting in the markets and calling under their fellows and saying, you know, "We have piped, we have played music, we have danced, and you didn't listen." And he goes on and he says, and it says here that in verse 20, "Then began he," Jesus, "began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." So we see the result, the consequences of not repenting. And Jesus here began to upbraid or to rebuke these people because they did not pay heed to the message. They did not listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And our Sunday school lesson talked about the day of visitation, which could be taken, you know, in different ways. But, you know, one way to think of it would be as when the Holy Spirit comes to you and God draws you with his Holy Spirit and God convicts you of sin, and then you refuse to repent. You refuse to acknowledge your sin. You refuse to ask the question that it said in Jeremiah, you know, "What have I done?" In other words, "I'm sorry." Or like the attitude of Saul on the road to Damascus when Jesus talked to him, and Saul's question was there, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He was repentant. He was willing to turn around, unlike the Pharisees, as Jesus was talking about here. Even though they were made aware of their sin and of their guilt, they refused to repent. In Revelation 16:9, it says here that, speaking of the plagues, it says, "And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." In spite of the things that God allowed, that God brought on them, they repented not. They refused to give God glory. True repentance is agreeing with God. It is saying to God that, "God, you are right and I am wrong, that I need you. But these people were of such whatever that they refused, so much pride, so much stubbornness, I'm not sure what, that they refused to acknowledge that God is right and that they are wrong. In Matthew 12, verses 38 through 50, a little more of the scribes and Pharisees here. It says in verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." A sign of an unrepentant heart. We want to see something. We've got to see something before we believe. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. A repentant heart is willing to take it by faith. It doesn't have to have a sign. It is willing to take God at his word and to believe that. There's not so much pride and stubbornness that say, you know, I've got to see something special here. But it recognizes its need of God. Jesus answered them in verse 39, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And you know, it takes repentance to do the will of God. It takes surrender, agreement with God to say that, God, you are right, I am wrong, to do the will of God. You know, as long as we have that unrepentant, unsubmissive, prideful spirit, we cannot surrender to the will of God, and we cannot do the will of God. Yeah, we may be able to do some of those things that would look to us like the will of God, but to really do the will of God, that is not the will of God, except we repent. And it brings out here, Jesus was saying that, you know, how Jonah preached to Nineveh, and how the queen of the south came to listen to Solomon, and how these people repented and they turned to God because of the message that they heard. And he said that this evil and adulterous generation is looking for a sign. You know, and basically they were just looking for self-justification. You know, a reason to not accept the message, and maybe a reason not to repent. In Matthew 21, we have, Jesus brings out two examples here. 21 verses 23 to 46. It says, And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Their unrepentant spirit was questioning the authority of God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? They were being proud here and not willing to accept truth. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You know, they really weren't wanting to know by what authority he did those things. They really had this unrepentant spirit, this prideful spirit that didn't really want to know. They just wanted to, you know, pick a fight. And then Jesus asked them, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, Go work today in my vineyard. But he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The first son here said, I won't go. But afterwards he repented. He was sorry. And he went after all. The first son was like, yeah, I'll go. But then, for whatever reason, he didn't go. And he didn't repent of it. And maybe I think that is what Jesus was saying, that is like the Pharisees. You know, they were saying, yeah, we'll preach the word. You know, we'll be your people. But then they got caught up in their broad phylacteries, their long prayers, their hypocrisy, whatever it was, and they did not go. And they did not repent of that. When it was spelled out clear and plain, they refused to repent. In verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on the inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of in their season. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. We see here it was spelled out so clearly of what they were doing, and yet, what did they do? Did they repent? No. They wanted to kill him, which is what they ended up doing, to the glory of God. In Luke 13, we have the account of how Jesus said there were some that told him in verse 1 that were present at that time, at that season, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, in other words, they were killed. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So was Jesus saying that unless we repent, we're going to be killed like these people were? You know, we're going to be killed and our blood mingled with the sacrifice of, in this case, would have been the old law, or there's going to be a tower that falls on us and kills us if we don't repent? I don't think so. I think what he was saying is that if we don't repent, we are going to die in our sin. And the Bible says as a tree falls, that's the way it's going to lay. You know, when you die in rejection of Jesus Christ with those sins hanging over your head, it's too late. As a tree falls, so shall it lay in eternity. You know, when we think about coming to eternity, there's a scripture in Timothy somewhere where it talks about some men's sins will go beforehand to judgment, the ones who repent, The sins, God removes them as far as the east is from the west. But for those who refuse to repent, like the scribes and Pharisees were doing, those sins will be there. And there, as it said, there's going to be some who will rise up in judgment against these people, these unrepentant people. Because if they had been given that opportunity, they would have repented. But you did not, is what Jesus was saying. So those sins will be there. Proof of your rejection of the gift of God. When the Spirit of God came, the day of visitation, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came to you and he gave you light, he gave you direction, and you refused to repent. You refused to accept that light. You refused to turn to the light. But as it says in John 3, that men love darkness, that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but the men refused the light because, and they wanted to remain in the darkness because their deeds were evil. They were so caught up in their sin and the things they wanted to do that they refused to repent and turn to the light. And that, God says, is a condemnation. Jesus spoke to the churches in Revelations. And there's many times that he said, "Except thou repent." When he said, "Repent." And I invite you to read and study those words that Jesus spoke. He said to one church, he said, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against thee with the sword of my mouth." Jesus is speaking to us as a church today. What are the things that Jesus is wanting us, that God is wanting us to repent of? He knows our works. He knows us from the inside out. He knows if we're cold or hot or lukewarm. And he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Whatever the sin is in our lives, God is asking us and giving us opportunity today to repent. In Galatians 5, we have the list of the works of the flesh. Any one of those are things that God is saying, repent. Gluttony, the love of money, the lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, as it talks about in Timothy, I believe it is. In Titus 3:3, it talks about how we were foolish and disobedient. We were deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, malice we had in our Sunday school lesson about the desire to going beyond hate for someone, the desire to hurt somebody. In our devotions this morning, Brother Nathan shared with us about forgiving as God forgave us. Unforgiveness is something that God wants us to repent of. Self-righteousness, thinking ourselves better than others, is something God wants us to repent of. A controlling spirit, maybe a critical spirit, a judging, condemning spirit, God wants us to repent of. In John, 1 John 2, 15 and 16, the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are things God wants us to repent of. In Luke 17, it tells us that like it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the days of the Son of Man. In the days, the last days, when Jesus is going to come back. Now, whether he's going to come for us as an individual or whether he's going to come for us as his bride, when we see the clouds part and we see Jesus appearing in heaven, we don't know. But we know we are in the last days, truly. It says it's going to be that way, that they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. And just like it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But when Lot went out of Sodom, it rained brimstone and fire from heaven and destroyed them all. except you repent. So it's going to be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What does God say to us today? What is Jesus? If Jesus were to come and to speak to us like he did to the churches in Revelation there, what would he say to us? That we are too busy maybe buying and selling and planting and building and planning. That we have forgotten about his work. Maybe we're so busy in our day-to-day duties. We're so busy in our spiritual activities that we forget to see, is this really what God wants us to do? We're so busy we forget to care about the many who are on the road to hell. You know, maybe the missions that we're involved in are merely done for to make us look good and not really for a heart of compassion and care about the lost. Maybe it's to try to appease our conscience. What does God want us to repent of? I believe it is any sin, whether it's in sins of action, sins of the heart, of the mind, or attitude, or if it's sins of omission. The heart of God is that we repent. And repentance is a gift from God. As the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's heart and God's will is that we repent. Because when we repent, we agree with God. And we say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And when we agree with God and we surrender to God and we yield our lives to God, Jesus Christ is glorified, is lifted up. You know, maybe you don't know what God wants you to repent of. But if you really want to know, God will show you. If you seek him with all your heart, God will be found of you. Scripture gives us that promise. If you really want to know, he will show you. You know, sometimes we might just pray a half-hearted prayer. A prayer of, you know, still standing up on the inside. God, show me. But there's something here I'm not willing to give up. Something I'm not willing to do. Repentance could mean the difference between heaven or hell. The difference of accepting Jesus or rejecting Jesus. The heart of God is that we repent and we give glory to God. Let's come before him.